Do you ever catch yourself in that situation whereby you think your partner is like the best person to ever walk on this planet just because things are going really well for the two of you? And then the next moment, you guys don't agree about something, you guys get into a fight. You're like, you're like, this is the worst person to ever walk on this planet. You're like, why am I even with this person? That is called black and white thinking. Hi, my name is Sega. I'm a health and recovery coach, and this is the Excellent Health Podcast, episode number 4. Today, we're talking about 5 unhelpful ways of thinking that might be impacting your mental health. So, black and white thinking, that's when you think that things are either good or they're terrible. Like, you don't think there's any middle ground to anything. There's no, they call it black and white thinking because you don't have any shades of gray. It's like something has to be extremely perfect, and if it's not perfect, it's very terrible. It's like the worst thing to ever happen. So it could be even not even the whole situation with the relationship. It could be anything. It could be you thinking that maybe you're one of those people that has a problem with keeping your time, right? And maybe you always show up late to work. And maybe everything else you do at work is perfect. Maybe you do your work very well, and you know, you treat your coworkers with respect and everything else. But because maybe you have a problem with punctuality, you start thinking that I am a terrible employee just because I can't be punctual. You ignore everything else because you're like, okay, just because of this, I am a terrible person, right? And that is not a helpful way of thinking. Why? Because obviously, there is always shades of gray. There's always like a middle ground somewhere. Things are not always either just extremely good or bad. And another way of thinking that is very unhelpful would be emotional reasoning. So emotional reasoning works in such a way whereby you use your emotions as a guide to like how things are in reality. You know, like how last episode we were talking about how thoughts influence your perception of reality in any given moment. So emotional reasoning is actually number one way of like, say when you something makes you feel anxious, right? Even if there is no threat or any danger, you might actually start thinking that there is an actual threat because that's how you're feeling. So using your emotions to tell you how things are in your environment, right? And sometimes, like we said in the last few episodes, that sometimes your emotions are just a result of like what you're currently thinking in the moment, right? Think of someone that's like maybe suspecting that their partner is cheating on them. Just because they've started working late, they're spending too much time at the office, you know, and just because they're thinking this thing, they start accusing their partner of cheating without even, like, you know, having any other evidence or, like, more information about what's happening, like, you know, just because they're thinking it and they're feeling it, they just go with, okay, and then that's what it is. You want to be conscious of these things when they're happening, right? Because sometimes things are really bad. Things are really terrible out there, right? And then there's times where things are not terrible. Things are not even bad. It's just that we are not thinking in a way that is going to be like allowing us to see the way things really are, right? We have a way of like relating our emotions to think that, okay, this is the truth. They're like telling you exactly what is happening when they're not. Another way of thinking that is very unhelpful is catastrophizing. So when you catastrophize, you take something that is very, very small, and then you just blow it out of proportion. You just make it like the worst thing to ever happen, you know? Say, for example, you started going to the gym, and sometimes there's so many people who try to tell you how to work out, how to do this, how to do that, like, you know, or you have to take your protein shake before you work out. You have to do this the other way. And sometimes those things are so tiny, they're not probably important to the extent that some people take them, you know. Some people make them so important to the point that if they don't take their protein shake before they work out, oh my God, I just ruined my day. I didn't take my protein shake before. I forgot this. And that is catastrophizing in the sense that it's like, it's not even that big of a deal. You know what I mean? And sometimes people get stuck on that. They feel like they can't even move past that thing. That's when you actually identify something as catastrophizing, because you're in this mental space of like, it's literally ruining your day. It's like making you think that you failed, you were not good enough, or, you know. The fourth way of thinking that is very unhelpful is generalization. So generalization is basically when you use one event to define all other events in the future. Think of this like stereotyping, but anyway, like, it's like one thing happens and then you think everything else that's related to that thing is going to be the same. So for example, you're in a relationship, you get cheated on. And now you start thinking that everyone cheats. Everyone that gets into a relationship, they're always going to cheat. Why? Because you were cheated on before. That is called generalization. So if you walk around with that idea and you hold it as a belief system, right? It's very unhelpful in the sense that even your future relationships are going to be affected by this one relationship that happened in the past. And you want to be able to get out of that way of thinking, especially when you are able to realize that that's what you're doing, right? And sometimes it's not easy to even notice that we're using a different way of thinking that is like not serving us, because when we're thinking it, we think that's the reality. We think that's what's actually happening in the world. That's what's there, you know? It takes a lot of, like, you know, self-reflection sometimes. It takes a lot of self-awareness to be able to notice that when you're thinking about something, the thoughts, like, to even notice the style of thinking that you're employing in a moment, it takes a lot of, like, you know, self-awareness. And another way of thinking that is also unhelpful is called mental filters. So mental filters, they're basically when you're only focusing on the negatives and you're ignoring the positives. So it goes back to that example that I gave you. Say you're an employee that does their job very well. You know, you treat coworkers with respect and everything else, but you have a problem with punctuality, right? If you're using mental filters, you'd be taking that weakness of you not being able to be punctual to define who you are as an employee. So you just forget that you do all these other good things. You forget that you have a positive side of you that, you know, that makes you maybe a good employee at that company. Sometimes you know, like I said, like, it's that maybe you treat your coworkers with respect. Maybe you are very excellent at doing your job, right? And then the one thing that is that you're not punctual. So if you're a person that's using mental filters, you would actually allow that to make you feel down, to, you know, to bring down your self-esteem. And there is a solution to, like, combating all these, like, ways of thinking. And one of them is being able to step back, to be able to like, say, okay, the way that I'm feeling right now is, like, it's not good, right? You maybe are feeling uneasy. So if you take a step back, you can actually ask yourself and say, okay, what is it that I'm thinking? What is it that I'm focusing on? And when you actually find that thought that is, like, making you feel uneasy, ask yourself, like, what evidence do I have for this thought? Like, how do I know this is true? Because whenever we don't question our thoughts, right, we just let them do whatever they want. Because the other thing that we also have to realize is that we don't control our thoughts in the sense that they just pop into our heads. Like, we don't actually formulate the thoughts. Most of the thoughts just pop into the head, and we just, you know, we could choose to focus on the thought or, like, let it go, right? That's as much as we could do for the most part, because sometimes that thought just pops into your head. Now it's up to you to decide, are you going to give that thought any attention, or are you going to ignore it? Are you going to challenge it? And another way, too, of doing it is being able to step out of, like, your own way of thinking, right? And ask yourself, like, how would somebody else look at this situation? Maybe you have a friend or someone you get along with. Like, ask yourself, like, how would this person look at this situation? Because sometimes we always know, especially people that are close to us, we always know how these people approach situations. And if you have a mentor, it's actually even better, because now we can actually be like, okay, how would my mentor look at this situation and how would they react to it, right? Just asking yourself that question is very important, because it allows you to step out of your own ways of thinking. And when you start employing other people's, like, point of views, or even just trying to imagine how somebody else would look at it, especially if you know how they think, right? If you know this is usually how they approach situations, it's easy for you to, like, step away from a situation where it's like you are already getting stressed out, and then you realize, like, okay, you know what? Maybe I'm just jumping into conclusions here. Maybe I'm just, like, you know, making a generalization about this thing, or maybe I'm catastrophizing. Like, how big of a deal is this thing, you know? And that is very helpful. Like, for me, I find, like, I always get stuck in, like, some of those ways of thinking, and I always get to that point where I'm like, now I see. Like, and it's always so, like, I always feel this relief, you know, when I actually pinpoint what is, like, causing me, like, distress. And I'd like to urge you, like, sometimes when you find yourself in those moments where you're really thinking that things are a certain way, just stop. Just take a step back and ask yourself, is this thought serving me? Like, is it true? And sometimes it's true. And I'm not saying every time you feel distress, your thought is always wrong. You know what I mean? Like, I'm saying, like, take the time to actually analyze it. Don't just be mindlessly, like, fall into all these, like, different ways of thinking that might be actually, like, causing you to have stress, or maybe low self-esteem, like, doubt yourself, even, like, have negative self-talk and, like, all these things. It's like, when you're able to, like, become conscious of, like, what's happening and be able to question it or even bring it to trial. That's what one of my mentors he likes to say. He says, put your thoughts on trial. And it's like, when you put them on trial, you're able to actually have a verdict and say, okay, this one is not serving me and it's not even true, and I can actually let this one go. And you always feel that, like, there's always that relief that comes with, like, being able to analyze something and, you know, trial it and, like, give it a verdict and say, nope, I'm not going to go with this one. Yep, so that was number 5. So thank you for tuning into the podcast. If you like the podcast, make sure you share the podcast and subscribe to it. And I'll catch you on the next episode.